Did you know that cockatoos can scream up to 130 decibels?
Oh, that's so similar to what I can do. Want to hear it?
Yeah. You frightened Monty.
I made Monty go, ha! Prithee and well met to another session. Whereupon we can ask, who is my doctor?
Whomst is my doctor?
Whomst is indeed. I am your host, Zach, and I know a lot about Doctor Who.
I'm a woman in this era, so I can't speak.
Today we are watching Series 8, Episode 3, Robot of Sherwood.
Episode 3! So I was gonna, I don't know when this could make it into the episode, if this will make it into the episode, but I had a realization today.
What's that?
So one of my coworkers is a big nerd.
Okay.
He's a composer, if that tells you anything.
Mm-hmm.
And we had been talking a little bit about Doctor Who, and he was talking about David Tennant. He was like, oh man, like, do you ever just think about how David Tennant has like the most beautiful Scottish brogue? They made him not speak with his accent. And I went, yeah, you ever think about how Peter Capaldi is also Scotsman and they did let him speak in his accent? And he just kind of went, yeah. And I went, uh-oh, I know more about Doctor Who than the nerd.
And so it begins.
Oh, no.
And so it continues to begin.
It's like, I can't talk to him about this stuff anymore. I know more than him.
I've read ahead in his book.
Oh, no. Spoilers.
Yes, this is called Robot of Sherwood. Does that invoke any images in your mind, Cassie? Of what Robot of Sherwood might be about?
Really?
Yeah.
Is this candid television? Is Jamie Kennedy hiding somewhere? Pop on out, JC.
I mean, I feel like it's pretty obvious, but I'm curious to hear it in your own words.
So a robot.
Okay.
In Sherwood Forest.
Okay. Which invokes nothing else for you, just
like, I don't know what you want.
I'm curious.
Like the movie Robots Robot, but it's Peter Pan, not Peter Pan, Robin Hood.
Okay, I was just
like, what do you want from me? A robot that steals from the rich and gives to the poor?
I'm just curious, like, when I tell you the titles, is like, just like images pop into your head or something.
I don't know. I'm not a creative man, dude.
You're not creative, she says, working in backstage work.
Do you want me to design it for you? What do you mean?
Weave me a tapestry now.
You gonna pay me? Oh my goodness.
I'll pay you in kisses.
Bailey's already doing that for you right now as we speak. Hi, honey.
Yes, this is Robot of Sherwood. It is a Doctor Who meets Robin Hood adventure.
The devil, you say.
Yeah. But as you and I are aware, Robin Hood is not a real person.
Yeah, I knew that.
Did you think there was really a sexy fox man?
No, not fox. Yeah, I absolutely knew that Robin Hood was just a folk tale.
Yeah, Robin Hood is just a fictional character. Robin Hood and his merry men are just I don't know if it's a fairy tale, but it is like it is folklore. It is English folklore. In the same way as like King Arthur is not a real guy.
I knew that too.
Cassie just assumes everything from the UK is real. We've been watching a Ken Burns documentary about a documentary.
No. See, Bailey agrees.
God, she is really like on you right now.
I can't even. It's because I was getting really like spirited, and now she's doing her very best to Dr. Bean my way back to health. So for our podcast listeners, my kitty cat is could not
be more on her.
Yes. So if you hear her adding her own commentary, or you hear her sweet little purrs, or the microphone sound quality is shifting, no, it's because I'm fighting a 16-year-old kitty cat.
And you can't take away what she wants at that age. It's cruel.
No.
It's elder abuse.
That's absolutely just despicable behavior. If I kicked her off, I might as well be shipped off to prison. Yeah.
The Hague will come for you. The United Nations will arrest you.
Yeah.
Before they can issue any warrants, we should get to the Cassie Prefassi then. Since you didn't seem to be aware, or maybe you were perfectly aware, that Robin Hood is not a real person in the real world, was never a real person. The first part of the Prefassi is, in the world of the show,
uh-huh,
do you think Robin Hood is a real person?
In the world of the show?
Yeah. Or is this some...
I mean, Shakespeare was a real person in the show, and he's obviously fake.
Shakespeare was a real guy, Cassie.
No, he wasn't. There was a set of... It was a pen name. It was different authors, and that was a pen name. There was one Shakespeare, maybe, but there's no way he wrote that many plays by himself. By hand? No.
Before we had keyboards, that would be too difficult.
Without ChatGPT? Uh-uh. No. There was one guy, but the...
Back then it stood for great poetry, thanks.
Yeah.
Gimme Play Today.
Gimme Play Today is the perfect name for Shakespearean ChatGPT.
In the context of the show, it is a plot point whether or not Robin Hood's a real person. So I'm curious to hear what you think the show decides to land on. You were being fully, fully attacked right now.
I was yawning and she tried to put her paw in my mouth. Is Robin Hood real? That is the question.
Yes. To real or not to real, that is the question.
Yes.
You think he is a real person?
I think so.
All right.
I'll keep it uncomplicated because there is a much more elaborate yes that I could give. But when I get elaborate is when I get wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I'll just stick to the blanket answer. If you want to give me some more points, I'll just take the blanket yes.
No.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, I mean, this show definitely has plenty of wibbly wobbly timey wimey bullshit. So it definitely could just say, yeah, he's real. Just deal with it.
Yep.
Accept it. This second Prefassi, I will admit, is a little open-ended, but I'm curious just what your creative muscles will pull out for you. What image it conjures to your mind when I tell you that in this episode, the Doctor gets in a sword fight, but he doesn't bring a sword. I will also, just to inform you further, he also doesn't use the sonic screwdriver.
Okay.
What weapon does the Doctor bring to a sword fight?
Is it something he's got in its pockets?
Yes.
It is something from his pocket. Yeah,
he pulls it out of his pocket.
Okay, so what does the Doctor pull out of his pocket to use in a sword fight? Because my first and only thought thus far is a pen.
Mm-hmm. Because you think the pen is mightier than the sword?
Yes.
I like that. That's pretty good.
I think that's... I can't think of a better answer because this show is stupid.
All right, so you think in this, we will find out that Robin Hood is a real boy. Robin Hood got his wish to be a real boy.
Yeah.
And that the Doctor gets in a sword fight with a pen.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we will find out together if those things are true as we watch Robot of Sherwood.
While we partially watch Robot and Sherwood, I watch both that and a little kitty cat.
I don't think you could watch anything else. She's putting herself directly in your face.
Yep.
Sometimes literally, she's trying to put her paw in your mouth.
Yep.
Today's episode of Who Is My Doctor is brought to you by Stan McGann, the Castle Man.
Well, hey there, peasants. Are you tired of hosting your kid's birthday where there's Wi-Fi and air conditioning? Then have I got a fortress for you? I'm Stan McGann, the Castle Man, and I've got all kinds of fortified dwellings for rent. You want the classic feudal? It's got authentic 12th century draftiness and a moat that smells like a wet dog's gym bag. You want the gothic nightmare? Great! It's got gargoyles that look like they're judging your life choices and mildew that I'm told isn't too bad for your health. Oh, look at that. It's raining. You know what that means at a castle? It means it's raining inside, too. Don't worry. I've got buckets. I'll rent you those, too. $10 a pop. That's Stan McGann, the castle man, located just behind the abandoned lime quarry. Look for the guy weeping into a pile of property tax assessments.
And we are back from Robot of Sherwood.
The sheriff, the Fogold King of England.
And down with that scurvy Prince John.
Yeah.
That's what the doctor would sound like as a chicken. So what'd you think, Cassie? Did you have a... It was a silly time.
It was a silly time.
Yeah, this was like a... Almost like a popcorn episode of Doctor Who. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. This is just meant to be like, you know what? I don't want to think too hard. I just want to like watch something doofy, watch a Scotsman fight with a spoon and call it a day.
I want to see two reluctant heroes being forced together in a, not a buddy, because they're not buddy cops, but they're like.
Buddy robbers.
I suppose. I want to watch two sassy boys play dress up together. That's kind of what this was.
Yeah, a little bit. It's a little.
Mark Gatiss has a habit of writing the doctor and everyone else around him as just a little bit extra annoyed.
Yeah, everyone is just a little bit bothered all the time. Like
and it's the other person's fault that they are bothered.
Yeah, so everyone who walks into a room goes, ugh.
Yeah. Everybody is a teenage girl.
I don't really have any complaints. It's not going to be anybody's favorite episode, but it's certainly just a good little time.
Like it, even if it is something of like a filler, they mm-hmm. did still bring up some of the overarching themes. Mm-hmm. At the very least, you and I are very much in the world of like, because, hey, Pod, Zach and I also play a lot of D&D.
We do.
So we are, as the kids would say, big fucking nerds. So as a big fucking nerd, it is really nice to have episodes of shows where I can go, okay, yay, I'm watching like, a D&D story arc play out in 30 minutes as opposed to
4 hours on Tuesday.
In 4 hours on Tuesday for like 2.5 years.
You get to watch it for 30 minutes every week for like 15 years.
Yeah. But this episode in particular, I was like, oh, this is very D&D. And a lot of it also has to do with the setting. But
yeah, and also some of the sets. It feels weird to they do look. There's parts of it that look a little cheap, which feels weird.
It's very Renaissance fair. Even the color of Clara's dress, like although very pretty, mm-hmm. so Renaissance fair.
Yeah,
there is not a shred of historical accuracy.
There's a smear of artifice over everything, which is very strange for the BBC to do, because you would think if any country could give you medieval England, it would be England.
I never thought of it like that.
Like just they don't have to build a castle. They can just call up Jeff the castle guy.
I like the idea that everybody in the BBC has their own castle guy.
Hang on. Let me call Stan the castle man real quick and I'll get us set up.
I guess I could just found your ad. Stan the castle man. Just, I like the idea of there being, you have your castle guy, you have your armor guy, you've got your costume guy.
Yeah, because they...
I'm using guy as the gender neutral term because everybody knows it's the same.
You got your just a little guy.
You got your just a little guy.
Yeah, they've got, they've got all the stuff there. If anybody in the world is going to have all of England's stuff, it would be England. England also has a bunch of other countries' stuff, too. They definitely have their own stuff.
Are we sure that wasn't the exchange where
they shipped off Excalibur in trade for all the Middle East like precious artifacts.
Yeah, you just go to South America and there's so much dead queen clothing. Like, how did that get there? Oh, it's on exchange for the stuff they stole. That's their retribution. I want to, now we've brushed up upon a thing of, do you think that Renaissance fairs now in England are really like, do you think they really get into it? Or,
you know, I have no idea. I've never even thought about a Ren fair in Europe where they had the Ren.
Because I know that Ren fairs are very popular all over the U.S., in this country.
Yeah, I think
we love that.
I've always thought of that as being partly because our history only goes back so far.
Yeah, we can't really. Well, because then we just criticize people that do, you know, Civil War reenactments. Those guys are nerds. Renaissance fairs are cool.
I think it's John Oliver who had a bit where he talks about how, you know, when they take you through historical tours in America, they're like, and this building is 200 years old. And John Oliver's like, oh, that's adorable. They think that's old. Our building is 1500 years old.
My favorite thing that's been coming up on my social media reels are metropolitan cities that are built onto like ancient ruins, but because they cannot build, they can't remove those. They have to keep them where they are. So there's just a McDonald's that has a full on ancient Roman street running through the like bottom floor of it because they can't do anything with it.
I was half expected you to say they had built like a McDonald's, like a Scottish castle, so they had to call it MacDonald's.
No, at least not to my knowledge. I just know about the Roman Street one.
So to get to your profassi points today, you got one of two, because you were correct. Robin Hood apparently is a real man in the world.
He's a real boy!
But the Doctor fought a sword of the spoon. He had been eating ice cream at the beginning of the episode and stuck the spoon in his pocket and then fought Robin Hood with it, which I think it's just funny. I like that he has a dueling glove, but nothing to duel with.
I should have known when you were like, oh, yeah, like pen is mightier than the sword. I should have known when you made that connection. I was like, oh, this is wrong. You're getting way too excited about this answer in a way that means that I'm incorrect. You're just patting my back and calling me smart.
I will say I do try to lean into the bit whether or not it's the right answer.
I'm trying to sniff out your I'm trying to sniff out your tells. Hey, could you tell what was my favorite part of this episode, Zach?
I did have a guess, and it was I referred to it as the arrow measuring contest, which is where they keep firing arrows into other arrows.
I would love to say, yeah, you got that correct. That was not my favorite.
Really? Okay.
My favorite truly was the Doctor and Robin Hood bickering in the cell.
I thought you would have thought that went on too long, personally.
It's the fact that they just kept on going back to Clara and then she crashes out. But it's not even that. It's the way that they escape by removing the entire floor of the cell with their chains attached still. And the Doctor making Robin Hood carry it because he is the younger of the two. That's the most D&D ass shit I have ever seen. That's called somebody giving the help action and then the other person rolling a nat 20 on strength.
I also heard you really enjoy the line, you can't keep me locked up in here with a laughing person.
Yeah. Well, because it's everything then that led to the grand escape of that was their only solution, was to take out the entire floor. That's so stupid.
It's the only thing we had left. There's one thing I like about that arrow scene, though, that at the beginning, when that happens, it feels ridiculous, but they do end up justifying it, where the Doctor like bounces an arrow off of someone's armor in a way that absolutely should not work. But then later he explains that he built homing arrows for that job. You're like, oh, okay. The fact that he did something stupid and ridiculous actually makes sense because he knew he wouldn't fail.
Yeah, I refer to that as the the archery pissing contest.
So on a scale of 1 to sexy fox man, how would you rate this Robin Hood?
Eh.
He's okay.
Eh.
Like 5.
I'm not a furry, but you're asking me if I would choose him over.
No, I said on a scale.
The animated fox? No. Yeah, no.
I know full well the animated fox is the top of your scale.
Thank you.
I'm asking from one to that. Where does he fall?
I don't know. Like maybe like a. Like he still gets a passing grade.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a 65.
Yeah, there's definitely some charm to him. I think one of my favorite moments is when the doctor finally learns that Robin Hood is real. And he goes, but he can't be. He's a legend. And he's like, you're too kind.
Yeah, it's because they're extra sassy bitch. Teenage girls.
Why are you so obsessed with me?
You bony rascal.
You really like you bony rascal. That was also a pretty good
because I don't hear the word because they use ninny, which is one of my favorite like gentle insults.
Mm-hmm.
Did I ever tell you there was a day where I had called somebody a ninny at work and this older woman is specifically like I do think yes, the color of her skin does play a part in this. An older black woman turned around and just went, what did you just call her? And I went, a ninny, thinking, uh-oh, is this another one of those words that we've canceled because it's actually like rooted in deep racism and I didn't know because I didn't check the news today to see what words were canceled. And she goes, I have not heard somebody call another person a ninny in 15 years. Where'd you learn that? And I went, that's like my mom's favorite thing to call me and my sister because we are, in fact, ninnies.
We're a pair of ninnies.
And she goes, give your mom a high five. That's perfect. And I went, oh, thank God.
That's pretty good.
So when I hear other people do it, I'm like, yes. Yes, words that I like. Rascal is one of those words, but it is not one that I use ever. So when it does come up, I'm like, yay, I forgot I like that one.
I think bony is also not an adjective that gets thrown a lot. So you hearing you bony rascal is just it's a pair of words that just bite more because they feel
it's also like we're continuing the trend of let's all be mean specifically to Peter Capaldi for being a skeleton man, an old The other term was the desiccated old crone.
That bony, bony boy.
Yeah. Because there's a part that's like, I know eventually this will get old of everybody being specifically very, not cruel, but just.
Taking little jabs.
Pointing out the fact that, yes, I get it. He's old. But it's also not like he's. An 82-year-old man.
It is funny that they keep calling him old when this doctor feels like he's acting the most like a child.
I think that's why it's the dichotomy.
Mm-hmm. Like there's a part like there are times where it feels like I think I just said the other day that there are often times where it feels like the doctor and Clara are like an old married couple. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it feels like Clara is the doctor's babysitter. Like she just stopped babysitting the kids and now babysits the doctor.
I mean, yeah.
Let's jump back to the top of the episode real quick, because there were some interesting things they've added to the TARDIS. They have chalkboards now, chalkboards and books, mm-hmm. all lining the upper level of the TARDIS.
This TARDIS looks more like it was designed with the help of 7 and 8.
Interesting.
Yeah. Like this one feels to me more like we went with what... 11 had left behind,
mm-hmm.
and then called in 7 and 8 for some design help. Yeah,
I have the furniture from the 8th Doctor's TARDIS somewhere. He's somewhere in there. Hang on.
I liked the books.
I miss the velvet chairs. The books and the velvet chairs.
And I want writing implements.
I'm doing maths now. As a doctor, I'm doing maths here. And the best way to do maths is on a chalkboard. I need 4 of them. Bring me 4 chalkboards.
Doing the wrong accent.
What was that?
I said, you're doing the wrong accent.
I wasn't trying to do an accent. I was trying to do a big trainer voice. If I wanted to do the right accent, I guess I could do this. Bring me the chalkboards.
Yeah, there we go.
I'm real angry brogue.
I think it helps if you employ the eyebrows, too.
I employ the eyebrows.
There we go. That helped you, didn't it?
I think so. Unfortunately, I think I'm stuck like this now. I look like I'm thinking at you really hard.
I mean, that's just kind of your face sometimes. I have to tell you to relax your forehead or else you're going to give yourself a migraine.
That's fair. I do that. So the doctor offers Clara the option to pick any place in time and space she wants to go. And she's like, you're going to say it's ridiculous and he's not real. I want to go see Robin Hood. And his response is immediately, you're being ridiculous. He's not real.
Let's go to Mars instead.
Let's go to Mars. Let's go see blah, blah, blah. And she's like, no, I want it's my birthday and I get to pick. So the doctor does as she requests and goes to not Sherwood Forest in England around 1190 AD ish. And then as soon as he steps out of the TARDIS, an arrow burning into the TARDIS, which really feels like the TARDIS should be able to block an arrow.
Yeah.
But at the same
time, the TARDIS was confused that it was getting shot at by an arrow. Well, in that brief moment, she went, this hasn't happened before.
It's usually lasers. I'm prepared for lasers. Someone threw a stick at me. But then when the doctor pulls the arrow out, the TARDIS like closes the hole up itself. I think that's a really fun, fun little touch. I like that Robin Hood is like, oh, it's a trick with mirrors. I want it. Give it to me. I shall take it from you. Because Robin Hood believes all property is theft. I'm a Marxist.
Could you imagine? Ah, lovely house you have. It's mine now, because I said so.
Because your property is theft, but I am a thief. Therefore, if I steal it, it's fine.
Yeah, all property is inherently theft.
The doctor immediately does not believe that Robin Hood is the real guy. So when he gets to meeting the Merry Men, he's just running around plucking stuff off of them to test them. That's one of my favorite moments, is him being like, your hair looks real. This isn't a real sandal. Wait, yes, it is.
Oh, so many diseases.
If you were real, you'd be dead in 6 months. I really like the callback to that of being like, he's going to enslave us forevermore. And the doctor's like, well, in your case, 6 months.
I didn't catch that.
Yeah, it's a good bit. I don't want to like beat by beat the whole episode, but it is.
No, please don't.
No, but it is. I really like the first half of this episode much more than the back half.
Because the other thing, just a little something. There was no blood ever. I went, oh yeah, it's the BBC. They don't want to show
it's
anything.
It's a family show.
They don't want to show anything too violent. So of course they're just going to be showing somebody being stabbed, but there would be no blood on the sword. That's a little too graphic. Cut to the very fucking end of the episode. Where we see a man get oopsied into a vat of molten gold.
Where we see that Robin Hood has come to see the doctor as his equal, as he repeats the very move the doctor performed on him in the little sword spoon match, and hip bumps the Sheriff of Nottingham into a vat of molten gold.
Like, I know that word, not wanting to do a whole beat by beat, but I just have to skip directly to the end of that because I went, oh yeah, that makes sense. No blood. We just saw a man get murdered.
And what's worse, I don't...
actually, sorry, wrong M word. We just saw a man get murdered.
Yeah, because what we see after that is him trying to get out of the vat and his hands have like been frozen in the gold, like the gold sealed around his hands. And so you're seeing his
still
gold
liquid
fingers
and dripping off of his fingies. Jesus H. Christ. Because I was also like, oh, yeah, that's so unbelievably hot. You would not.
I didn't know you were into that. That silence on that track is going to be so deafening. It's also particularly kind of gruesome after just like the silly shenanigans of the episode itself, because the villains of it are big metal, like metal men with giant heads that shoot purple cross lasers out of their face.
Can I tell you something?
What's that?
I loved them. Their design was so cool.
I think it's because they feel the most like men in suits we've had in a minute.
They feel them. Well, yes, but also, like, if you're going to make a robot that is disguising itself for historical accuracy, that's exactly how you would do that, is giving them the big, like, over the head, extra clunky helmets. I don't remember the words for them.
I would just say helmets, too.
We'll just say helmet. Bucket helmet. You know what I mean, though.
I'm picturing helmets in the shape of bucket hats.
Their weapons are ska.
just an army coming at you singing "You Get What You Give."
That's not ska.
Yeah, but the guy's wearing a bucket hat in it, so it's, I think it still
okay,
counts.
Okay, because I was just thinking about an army instead of, like, a little drummer boy. It's a trumpet.
All the knights are wearing Converse.
And they're taking really unnecessarily big steps.
They're playing the Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2 soundtrack as they come down.
The other army starts running in the opposite direction.
But yeah, it was also the purple cross face lasers that was...
Yay! I loved it. Forehead lasers. It was just Ash Wednesday.
You will be turned into ash this Wednesday.
Yeah. It's silly, Zach.
Yeah, that's a very, very silly premise, to be certain.
So when they're in the ship, the doctor comes upon their like ship log that they are en route to the promised land.
Mm-hmm.
That is Gallifrey, right?
They have not elaborated on what the promised land is yet.
Okay.
But it's not the first time we've heard that.
Yeah. That's why, because I know that is part of this story now is... finding Gallifrey.
Yeah, we know that the Promised Land is a big deal, and we know, and we didn't see our other running thread through the season. So we didn't
see
Missy.
Thank God. To hell with her.
I don't like women in Doctor Who.
Don't, unless they're River Song.
What if she is? She did say the Doctor was her boyfriend.
Okay, yeah, but that's not Alex Kingston.
That's
okay?
Fair. That's not Alex Kingston. I also really like, there's a part of it where it's like, I run back and forth on liking that Clara is the level-headed one in this group, because it is kind of fun to see the dynamic of two boys bickering while the girl is like, boys.
It's very relatable.
Yeah. It is a little cliche, but it's also like, I get it. Especially because it doesn't seem to mesh with the doctor that we had last episode. The doctor was like, very like, flippant and kind of not uncaring, but he, you know, the doctor makes a jab that Clara's her carer, she cares so I don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
This doctor feels way more like he's having a tantrum like most of the episode.
Yes, but I did like there was a little like fleeting moment where he is asking Clara about why she believes in Robin Hood. And he says, when did you start believing in impossible heroes? And she goes, don't you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think
I loved that.
I think that's a really nice moment. Because I think the running through line of this season is the doctor finding his identity.
Yeah.
And so I like that there is this part of it where, you know, the doctor is, you know, this episode is about the doctor being a hero. Being a hero in the way that Robin Hood is to Clara. The last episode is about the doctor... who being a good man. And there is, you know, sort of an attachment of like in both situations, the doctor most likes to be in control and he gets different responses based off of how he loses that control.
Yeah.
In the last episode, he gets very sad because he loses control over the Dalek when the Dalek sees something in the doctor that the doctor doesn't like.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas this time the doctor gets really upset that he doesn't understand how Robin Hood is here. And that leaves him in a position out of control. Yeah. And so I think that's a very like,
I mean, it's just the doctor being upset that he doesn't have an answer.
Yeah. And I think that's something very, that's a very true to the character trait. Like that's something that feels like all doctors would sort of get very mad. And sometimes that's a trait that like gets them in trouble. Just the like, I am very strong headed and I know that I'm smart enough and charismatic enough that I can carry basically any situation. And when I can't, that makes me very frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why I would latch onto that trait so strongly. I can't imagine where I would see that in real life.
Is that a jab on you?
Why? Why would you say that? Are you saying that you think that's a trait that I have? Because I don't think that would be weird. That'd be crazy to think
Well,
that.
This is your favorite show, and I can only imagine...
Yeah, I definitely
that
think
you as a young man thinking, oh, I want to be just like my favorite character. Any iteration of the doctor. What is one of his key identifying qualities? Well, he's a smarty know-it-all.
To be fair, I've wondered.
I, too, need to be a smarty know-it-all.
In a modicum of fairness.
You were always a smarty know-it-all, saw another smarty know-it-all on the television screen and went, oh, There's more.
I've been a smarty know-it-all since I was five, I think. I think that was just installed directly into my base software. Knowitall.exe was the first file installed on this computer. That is my brain. It's a little sad that I like that they have so much going on with Robin Hood. It's a little bit of a bummer how little we see of the Merry Men.
Because they always spend so much time introducing each one. Mm-hmm. This is John Little. We call him Little John.
Alan Adale, he plays us nice tunes.
Yeah, never.
That only sometimes rhyme.
He only gets through a verse every time.
he only writes like a stanza.
They let Squidward sing more in that one episode of Medieval Times SpongeBob than they did this actual actor they hired because he can play the lute and also sing.
It's only a bummer because I feel like those interactions, like those characters are always so fun to see, especially when you see the different personalities that rally behind Robin Hood, but they spend most of their time like piddling around a small camp that's just like a cave set.
Yeah.
Here we are, Robin's merry men in our hole. Welcome to our hole.
It turns out they're all just so derelict. And yes, they only have 6 months to live because they have brain eating viruses.
Full of tapeworms and
oh no.
I do find it very amusing that one of the running plot points of the Doctor knowing something is wrong is that it's autumn in England and he's like, it's too green, it's too nice. There's too much sun here in England. We need to fix this. Something is wrong.
Well, if the reason why everything is so green is because there's a radiation leak, I'm like, no wonder these men are all psycho.
That's why they all have 6 months to live. This ship is giving everybody in the area cancer.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Oh, poor guys.
Robin Hood men in the ER.
Robin Hood men in the dirt because they died.
But, you know, it's a good time. I don't have any complaints.
Like, it's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. This
like,
is
the only time that it got a little, like, for me, the only time that the episode ever started, like, steering in the opposite direction, and I understand why it was doing that, is while you have silly boy shenanigans in the dungeon between the Doctor and Robin Hood, mm-hmm. trying to figure out how to escape, you had Clara and the sheriff like talking in a firelit room.
Yeah, and the sheriff being a little rapey.
Yeah, I went, oh, we're doing a
doesn't every king require a consort?
Ugh.
Meanwhile, they're like. Meanwhile, the men are downstairs like, oh, I got my tummy hurts. Guard.
Oh, he pissed himself. Oh, no. Every king requires a consort. Ew, he peed.
he's having a nervous breakdown. He soiled himself.
I'll take over England and then the world.
Soiled yourself, did you? That's really getting into character.
Yeah, so I understand, and perhaps that's why I liked that part of the scene much better. I was like, I don't like this. It's the one takeaway from that particular scene is I always have a very hard time visualizing what the inside of a castle might look like lit because fire. Fire lighting is very different than Severance style horrendous LED overhead lighting. And so especially when I'm reading books that take place in castles, I'm like, I don't even know how this place is lit. I can't, brain can't set the scene. Do you do that when you're reading?
When I'm coming up with stories in my head, which is what I often do for D&D, I will usually picture like where lighting is coming from in scenes. Partly because when I'm doing D&D, like where things are, like how much light is in a room is also a mechanic.
Well, yeah, but like specifically when you are either remembering something, either a thing that you read or like a story you heard, something that doesn't have a physical means attached to it. Do you inherently go through and like set the scene as if it's a movie or a stage play, or is that just me?
I set it as if it's a movie for sure. Like I have a very cinematic inner mental image. I don't know what the term is for that is.
I don't know.
I have a very cinematic mind's eye. There we go. Mm. And this is just the last little thing that I wanted to talk about. I like that the they fished everything out of the doctor's pockets, and he had his spoon, a sonic screwdriver, and a plastic wrap sandwich.
And a book. I think just because the cover of the book looks a little bit like one that I have, I believe the book is Fahrenheit 451, but I...
Could be in. That is, yeah, those are all... I just loved the little plastic wrap sandwich. That's so silly to me.
Especially since the sandwich is presumably only, like, ham and nothing else.
It's just a ham and cheese.
Like, there was no leafy greens. There was nothing to help us identify what kind of sandwich it was, other than that it more than likely did not have the crusts on it.
I didn't see crusts either. I don't think so.
It was white bread, and it was white all the way through. It was the same color as the doctor.
Yeah, that's his emergency sandwich. That's what that's there for.
It's in the same energy as how Paddington keeps a marmalade sandwich in his hat. The doctor keeps a ham sandwich in his pocket.
And it's like his inner pocket, too, I'm sure, where people normally keep like their wallet. He keeps a sandwich. I think this episode's a solid like B episode. It's not changing any hearts or minds or really giving you much to like. You're not going home with any thoughts, but it's a good time. It's just a good way to like spend an hour with a little smile on your face.
Like if I was getting ready for a convention, mm-hmm. a Ren Faire, something like that, where I too would be dressing up. This feels like an episode that I would want to put on mm-hmm. in a playlist of other episodes.
Yeah. And I want to commend, I don't know what the order of the filming was for these episodes like I do for Matt Smith's era, but it really feels like Capaldi took the role really fast.
Oh, yeah.
Like it felt like there's been like no like ramp on time for him. Like there's definitely episodes where I can say like, oh, this was early in Matt Smith's run. He's still a little stiff in the character. Capaldi just like hits the ground running.
Do you think that comes with him being a more mature actor?
It very well could be.
He just knows how to do that much quicker.
It very well could be. It could also just be that because he can't, like, he's been a fan of the show his whole life.
So there's a non-zero chance that he has played the game in his head of what would I do if I were the doctor?
Yeah. So could,
what would I would have done?
Yeah, there definitely could have been like I've been an actor a longer time than Matt Smith was, who was, you know, in his 20s. Capaldi has been like, I've been in the game for 50 years. Well, not 50 years, but, you know, he's been in the game for 40 years. He's an experienced thespian. And it's also a character that he's thought about since he was a teenager, if not younger. So I'm sure there's a part of him that's just like, hey, I know exactly what I want to do, and I can just turn
this on immediately.
Yeah, I've been doing this in my head for years. Yeah, and it's a good time. I think Capaldi is really came into this really quickly. And we will see him again next week. And
what's the name of next week's episode?
Well, the next week's episode is very important for people who subscribe to our podcast, because the next episode is called Listen.
Okay, what's the name of the podcast?
Listen.
All right, you have my attention. What's the name of the episode?
Listen.
I'm listening right now. What's the name of the episode?
Listen.
Okay. What is it, douchebag?
Well, I guess you'll just find out next time on the next episode of Who Is My Doctor?
Whomst is mine doctor?
Whomst could be mine doctor indeed. Exit stage right, pursued by a doctor.
Lights dim on me and the curtains close.
If we shadows have offended, think with this and all is mended, that you have but slumbered here whilst these visions did appear.
What? was that from the words of a kind of a sort of a hat wearing cat? I hate the musical so goddamn much. Wait, no, what was that from though?
A Midsummer Night's Dream. It's Robin's monologue at the end of the play. It's basically just saying, hey, if you didn't like the play, we made it up. You just had a dream. Go home. Don't be a bitch about it.
Wait, okay. Can you just do me a favor really quick?
Mm-hmm.
Again, but as Jonathan Frakes, we made it up.
If we shadows have offended, think but this and all is mended, that you have but slumbered here whilst these visions did appear.
In short, it's false.
Give me your hands if we be friends, and Robin shall restore amends, because we made it up.
Thank you.
Not a chance.
Not a chance.
You ever been to the 1190 part of medieval England? You ever been to the Nottingham Forest part of medieval England?
Who is my doctor?
Who is indeed? You know, I realized we were doing a lot of Shakespeare references for a story that takes place roughly 400 years before he was born. So I really hope none of you are listening because you think we respect historical accuracy. Either way, you know, I got to reveal one of the few monologues I have permanently filed away in my mind's filing cabinet, so I consider that a win. If you'd like to support our show directly, you can find us over on Patreon at patreon.com/whoismydoctor, where you can get episodes of this podcast a whole week early for as little as $1 a month. Special thanks, as always, go to our Big Daddy Dalek patrons, Andrew Blewett, David Gansel, Travis Aiken, and Daniel Lindgren. Next Tuesday, we're taking a peek under the bed as we watch Listen. So we'll see you next Tuesday, because your Tuesdays are now Whose Days.